The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome back to Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Portland, Oregon, where it is Monday, August 19th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Oh, I'm telling you, it's great to be back in the studio. We had ourselves such a great time in two different corners of the continent. First, we went to Miami, Florida, and spent a lot of time down there. I hope you enjoyed the live shows from Miami. And then we flew back up to Seattle for the Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend. Oh my God, the 22nd annual Seattle Hemp Fest, the first legal hemp fest, and it was a blast. First of all, they got that new bridge, the Stephen Colbert Bridge to Somewhere eventually. It comes out right at the Homewood Suites, which is where we usually stay when we go to Seattle. So it was like, get out of bed, walk across the bridge, bam, you're right there at the main stage. It was amazing. We had a lot of fun. Herb Thrasher, of course, was there representing. He got to do his first speeches ever at Seattle Hemp Fest. We'll have video of that for you later on in the week. On today's show, we've got video from, well, myself at the McWilliams stage. We're going to put that in the Radical Rant today. And for our Behind the Headlines segment, our good friend Sharon Ravert, Georgia Mom for Marijuana, a.k.a. the Executive Director of Peachtree Normal, and her speech at the Seattle Hemp Fest McWilliams stage. We'll bring that to you in Behind the Headlines. Also, for our Daily Toker Tunes, we're going to keep with the Seattle Hemp Fest theme, play you some great music from the band The Toys. We've played their song Green Doctor on the show before. We've got a live version of it from the main stage for you. Coming up later in the week, oh my God, some great music from Head P.E., from Lacero, another tune from the Toys, the aforementioned Toys, and another great hard rock band. I got to find the name of them that played out at the McWilliams stage. That's going to be our music for the week. So all you music editors that are listening, you got the week off. We got plenty of music for this week's shows. Also on today's show, we got Dr. Mitch Earlywine because it is Monday. It's time to listen to the doctor and get your cannabis Q&A. Get your questions ready for our chat room and our live call-in number at 971-533-7111. We're a little exhausted here at the Russ Belville Show, but we're real excited to bring you our coverage of Seattle Hemp Fest coming up right after the 420 radio news headlines. We actually got some decent news from New Jersey to bring you, and all anyone can talk about Seattle, the cops handing out Doritos. That story's coming up next.
You cut people, you smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs and mentions most to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.
Everywhere you go in Washington State, things are greener than ever. Why? Because last November, Washington voters made adult recreational use of cannabis legal, which is why the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup is coming to Seattle once again to salute Washington's historic victory. If you love cannabis, then get yourself over to the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup on September 7th and 8th as the marijuana community gathers in force to celebrate our newfound freedom. Meet the businesses of the emerging cannabis industry. Learn about cultivation, topical oils, concentrates, edibles, and more. Sample dabs, buds, and delectable morsels of cannabis cuisine. Then rock out on Saturday night at our Smokin' Hot concert featuring Slightly Stupid and Redman. And of course on Sunday evening, we present the U.S. Cannabis Cups for the top indicas, sativas, hybrids, edibles, and concentrates of the great state of Washington. Plus, we honor professional traveler and outspoken cannabis advocate Rick Steves with the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award. Come to Fremont Studios on September 7th and 8th in Seattle for a historic celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, August 19th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Cops round out of free Doritos in 10 minutes at Seattle Pot Fest from abcnews.com. The Seattle Police Department descended into the city's annual Hemp Fest, which celebrates marijuana culture, to put into action a plan dubbed Operation Orange Fingers. In a move to draw attention to marijuana usage rules and restrictions in the state, officers handed out free Doritos with stickers about pot laws stuck to the bags. Not only delicious, but educational, each bag displayed a sticker of do's and don'ts of I-502, Washington's ballot measure that legalized the possession of marijuana in November. So what do the cops consider the don'ts of an overwhelmingly popular pot law? The stickers instructed Washingtonians to remember to avoid driving while high, giving or selling weed to people under the age of 21, as well as foregoing pot use in public. The do's? Listen to Dark Side of the Moon at a reasonable volume, the stickers said. For more information, the Doritos devourers could head to a website for more information. Governor Christie amends medical marijuana restrictions from the New York Times. Trying to straddle a potentially dangerous social issue, Governor Christie on Friday agreed to expand New Jersey's medical marijuana program, but stopped short of what parents with children with life-threatening diseases say is necessary to prove their access to treatment. Mr. Christie would allow medical marijuana dispensaries to provide edible marijuana, but only for children. Parents say the edible products provide the benefits but not the high of marijuana and makes it easier to treat children who are too impaired to smoke. Mr. Christie also eliminated a part of the law that limits to 3 the number of strains of marijuana that dispensaries can cultivate. But the legislature had approved a bill aligning regulations for children with what is required for adults in the program, which is already considered the nation's strictest. Children, like adults, could be prescribed marijuana by a doctor registered with the state under the proposal. Mr. Christie vetoed that part of the legislation, keeping in part the requirement that parents have letters of support from a pediatrician and a psychiatrist, as well as a prescription from a doctor registered in the program. Of about 250 doctors on the state registry, 2 are pediatricians and 16 are psychiatrists. Lee Child says, smoked cannabis 5 nights a week for 44 years from the Daily Mail. He is one of the world's best-selling thriller writers with his Jack Reacher novels so successful one is bought every 2 seconds. Now, author Lee Child has admitted he keeps his writing razor sharp by working while high on cannabis and even claims that it should be made compulsory. Quote, I've been smoking weed for 44 years, 5 nights a week, the author confessed. I'm the poster boy to prove it doesn't do you much harm, end quote. Child was brought up in Birmingham and moved to America in 1999 after he published the first of his Reacher novels, of which he has now sold 70 million. The latest, Never Go Back, comes out on August 28th and is his 18th novel. Last year, Tom Cruise starred in the movie Jack Reacher. This smoking new scooter is made with hemp from Kodot Design. The new B scooter is actually made from a hemp-based plastic. The bio-based, fully electric vehicle is no less durable or chic than any non-hemp motor scooter. Van Echo, the Dutch startup behind the B design, boasts that the shell is so resilient it will simply scratch or scuff, not fall apart, if it ends up in any minor collision. The scooter's plant-based pedigree doesn't detract from its overall performance either, with speeds up to 30 miles an hour and a 50-mile range. The Van Echo team was able to develop a shell that's structural and load-bearing. In doing so, they eliminated the extensive joinery typical of most scooters for a sleeker profile. The B scooter is set to launch in Amsterdam in 2014. Paraguay's new president was targeted by the DEA from Time magazine. Paraguayan multimillionaire Horacio Cartes promised that the fatherland comes first in his inaugural speech as president on Thursday, delivering a powerful message in one of the most unequal nations in South America. Accusations involving Cartes becoming widely reported after WikiLeaks published a 2010 U.S. State Department cable that labeled him as the head of a drug trafficking and money laundering operation. Philip Morris, British American, Reynolds, and Imperial Tobacco Company officials met with agents from the DEA, the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and the Justice and Treasury Departments in a Panama City hotel in December 2009 to coordinate an undercover attack on Cartes, codenamed Operation Heart of Stone. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, August 19th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we take you to Seattle Hempfest's McWilliams stage and the speech from the executive director of Georgia Moms for Marijuana and Peachtree Normal, Sharon Ravert. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
Of the last seven major party candidates to run for president, three of the last seven vice presidential candidates, and the last three presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And of course, this weekend we were at Seattle Hemp Fest for the big celebration of I-502, making marijuana possession legal in the state. And flying all the way out from Atlanta, Georgia, was our good friend Sharon Ravert. She's with Georgia Moms for Marijuana, also with Normal Women's Alliance and Peachtree Normal. This is her speech from the McWilliams stage. Enjoy.
Next, from the state of Georgia, Sharon Ravert. Lives in the beautiful state of Georgia under archaic pot laws. She is a mom for marijuana and is the executive director of Peachtree Normal in Georgia. She got involved in the fight to end prohibition when a SWAT team came into her house and took her 19-year-old out of bed with a gun to her head. Let's hear it for her.
Happy Hemp Fest, everybody. I'm sorry you guys put up with a little southern accent. I got involved about 8 years ago, like he said, when the SWAT team came in and took my daughter out of bed with a gun to her head.
What?
And decided that they were going to try to ruin her life. They found 1.5 grams of marijuana, about the size of what, a joint down here? And they decided that they were going to face 26 years in jail for that and a few pieces of glass that we had in the house. So I decided I was going to start fighting against this crap, because honestly, y'all may be free, but we're not free in Georgia yet, and we're going to look for y'all to help us out. I came here last year to tell y'all what was going on, because y'all had the no on 502 and yes on 502, and I just wanted to bring a little bit of information from the South and what we're looking at and what we deal with every single day. My niece is just getting her kids back next month. They finally gave her an exit date because they took her three children because she smokes pot. We're looking at this stuff all over the country. But what I came back here today is to say thank you to all of y'all who voted and went out there and took the first step, because Georgia was looking and the rest of the country is watching y'all. And give yourselves a hand, because Washington and Colorado kicked ass in November, and it is coming all the way across to the East Coast now. Thank you, and that's why I'm here, is to say thank you. I want y'all to remember us. Remember the people that are getting arrested every single 19 seconds. You may be free here, but we're not free over there. And if you have any money in your pocket, give it to these people at Hemp Fest. Come out and take whatever group you like, and give them $5 a month. We need your help. We are suffocating under oppression in the South and in the Midwest, and we appreciate what y'all have done. I want to ask you one more thing, too. I continue to see stuff that's going over here, and I want y'all not to rest on your laurels. Back in 1970, in the 70s, there was a guy named Jimmy Carter. He was from Georgia. Peanut farmer. He wanted to legalize weed. We sat and rested on our laurels in this country. And look where we are today in Georgia, perhaps. You see what I'm saying? We cannot stop. We need y'all's help. We cannot do this alone. We need y'all to help us as we helped y'all. I had a group of 300 people in Georgia calling for I-502. We had them calling for A-64. Y'all can do stuff like that for us. When we get stuff on the ballot, go to phone banks and work up phone banks and come help us. Y'all need to pay it forward. And I ask y'all to be careful with your freedoms here, because the rest of the country is watching. And don't blow it for us, please. If y'all don't know how to make BHO, for God's sakes, take a class. Don't blow your house up. Those types of things will ruin this movement for the rest of the world. And I just beg y'all to learn what you're doing and stay safe. And keep your freedoms close to heart, but push them out into the rest of the world. Because not only the South is looking for y'all, but the rest of this country, the rest of the world. And we're so proud that y'all did what y'all did, because it has made the world of difference over there in the South. We have medical marijuana being introduced in Georgia. We've got a Good Samaritan law coming to Georgia next year to try and prevent overdose prevention, you know, and drug overdose. We are working on decrim, and I've talked to many legislators in Georgia. We're hungry for information, and we're trying to get it from y'all. So share the power, share the love, organize. Get people that you know in the South to register to vote, because it's coming to us too. And I thank you very much, and enjoy your Hemp Fest.
Thank you, Sharon Raver.
Thanks for coming all the way from Georgia.
Yeah, thank you.
We've been trying to get people from all over the country to come, partly so they can tell you what's going on in other parts of the country, and partly so that they can see what
this baby
looks like.
Did I do all right?
Great, you're right on 5 minutes, too.
Okay, I knew I was too close.
I would say she did fantastic. And let's celebrate that with a 20 after break. We're a little bit early, but what the heck. We're celebrating for Sharon and Big Daddy Fink, Timmy Harris, and the wonderful Michelle, who are all on an airplane right now, flying their way back to Atlanta. We'll catch you in the replays. Smoke it up.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be.
I don't know anything about government. Luckily, Terry Joyce does. She tells me what to think, say, and do. Terry Joyce was a carnival freak for years. I'm not wearing any pants, and Terry Joyce is going to fight for my right to get them back. That's why I'm asking you to watch the Hollywood Hempress Hour with Terry Joyce. Trust me, I medicate.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, one of my favorite things about going to Seattle Hemp Fest is getting to see a lot of different acts, a lot of different bands, reggae bands, hip-hop bands, rock bands. And one band that I really enjoyed watching this time at Seattle Hemp Fest was The Toys. And it's kind of an interesting situation when you're a band like The Toys, where you are known for a cover tune that somebody else covered. If you know the Sublime tune, Smoke Two Joints, you know, Smoke Two Joints in the Morning, that was originally done by The Toys. So as they went through their set, they constantly had to remind people they only play original music, lest people think that they were covering Smoke Two Joints. It's all their own original stuff. So we're going to play one of their original tunes here that they performed on the main stage. This one is The Toys with Green Doctor.
We're going to do a song about that. It's called Green Doctor. I take my traveling practice far and wide. I don't need no pills to treat the good folks ills. With the laws of nature on my side, I grow me own grass, just like a homeopath, and write prescriptions up the ass on your green doctor. Now look, cannabis governor, piano, Hippocratic, I'm just your green doctor. Don't you think I'm heaven sent? I'm a yard. Take my little green bag from town to town, stab your veins to ease your pain. But the president wants to shut me down. Our leaders are dutiful in supporting pharmaceuticals. But you can't tell me what you get from me. I'm your green doctor, not a cannabis corking of Hippocratic cannabis. Green doctor, don't you think I'm heaven sent? I'm a green doctor. Smoke two joints and call me in the morning. I'm your green doctor, and I'm licensed by the government. All I wanted was some ganja. 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 All I wanted was some ganja.
But they made you take morphine.
Oh no. All I wanted was some ganja.
Then they said try some of this here codeine.
All I wanted was some ganja.
And then they sit you on a couch with an old magazine.
All I wanted was some ganja.
And then while you were waiting, they gave you caffeine.
All I wanted was some ganja.
But your pleas, they were ignored.
Oh no, all I wanted was some ganja.
Now you live at Betty Ford.
Trying this on.
There you go, Ellen. You want to get high? We got some great high stick in the back.
Smoke. Kind buds.
You're gonna love this stuff. It'll get you really high.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past on a Monday, and that means it's time for our weekly visit with the doctor. Dr. Mitch Earlywine's in. How are you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a great day.
I'm having a great summer day myself. We just recovered from Seattle Hemp Fest, and I was smart enough this year to use loads of sunscreen, so I don't have my typical hat sunburn I usually have.
They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
who would have thought? I actually learned something. Hey, folks, if you want to get your questions in for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, get into our chat room. It's at ustream.tv. You can just log in, create yourself an account, and get your questions in. If you add Q colon at the beginning of your question, it makes it a little easier for us to pick out of the chat. Or you can just call in the old-fashioned way, 971-533-7111. And we always let Dr. Mitch have the first word here to give us the updates on what's new in cannabis science.
I didn't know if you got the chance to rant about this lead poisoning versus cannabis issue, and I'm happy to chime in if you don't feel like you've already beaten it to death. And there's also a new study in drug and alcohol dependence I'd love to discuss.
Let's talk about the drug and alcohol dependence one. I'll bring the lead one up around the end of the segment.
Well, so the clincher here is essentially we've seen lots and lots of evidence suggesting that early cannabis involvement links to school dropout. Mm-hmm. So the idea is somehow the cannabis makes you not want to go to school the way it drives you crazily to do heroin and all this other mm-hmm. crazy stuff. And I'd always thought that this was really a third variable explanation. We have a new paper in Drug and Alcohol Dependence suggesting that really is the case. So it's not that cannabis leads people to not want to hang out at school. It's that the risk of dropping out and the risk of cannabis use are two correlated personality variables that tend to covary, and it's not at all that cannabis is causal of school dropout. It's that a third thing is causing each of early cannabis use and school dropout.
For an example here, we could talk about a kid who's got a lousy home life, parents are getting divorced, he's suffering abuse and neglect, maybe he's got bad nutrition, all these things that lead him to want to drop out. Oh, and he happens to smoke pot, so that's what they want to pin it on, and it's just not so.
In fact, that correlation is completely spurious, and all those other things you mentioned are much more likely contributors to each.
All right. We've got a question from our chat room. Randy Brush would like to know, where is the best place for people to get current, trustworthy info on cannabis?
As lame as it sounds, Google Scholar is available to everyone. And if you go ahead and just put cannabis in the title, you'll be stunned at how much you come up with. And marijuana also seems to work well, although you usually get the biased anti-cannabis stuff when you use that as a title.
All right.
Like GoogleScholar.com.
Well, there's a little organization Dr. Mitch is on the board of called Normal. There's a great place to find some stuff, too. Normal.org.
I find it much more accessible, but it's hard for poor Paul to keep everything as up to date. So we do the best we can.
Yeah, there's some great information there between the cannabis. He's got the guide to cannabis and how it works on, you know, the latest scientific rational guide on the conditions it will work for. He's got a guide on cannabis in the brain. He's got a guide on cannabis and driving. You should read all three of those things and then, you know, supplement your knowledge from some other sources. I would definitely recommend that. All right, let's get to this one that you mentioned. I got this forwarded to me by a few people. And of course, it just continues the reaction from the rehabitionists on the Sanjay Gupta weed special. And of course, the Riddler to my Batman is Dr. Chris Thurstone out there in Denver with his whole rehab entrepreneur lifestyle out there. And he's got a post up that says, "Why worry about lead but not weed?" And this is taken off of a post. He interviewed someone named Paula Riggs, and they make this point about lead poisoning in the United States and how there used to be lead in our, you know, in materials that kids would eat or drink, and that caused, you know,
terrible problems, and we worked to reduce lead poisoning, reduce lead in our products so that they would help the kids. And they're trying to tie this and say marijuana is as bad as lead poisoning because, oh no, both of them cause drops in IQ. And boy, I the only thing I had in the rant on this, Dr. Mitch, is, yeah, I don't recall, doesn't lead kill people as well? So what can we, how much more can we poke a hole into this?
I mean, this is so misinformed, it's hard to know where to start, but I want to emphasize that there was one study by Peter Fried showing slight IQ drops in folks who were heavily involved with cannabis early in life who used every single day. In that same data set, what never gets mentioned is the folks who used once a week actually had their IQs go up. Of course, that's complete taboo. We can't bring up that topic. And then at the time lead was removed from gasoline, we had 24 different data sets showing that lead led to decreases in IQ, as well as all kinds of blood diseases and all kinds of other problems, right? Not a single study suggesting that IQ might drop, but it didn't seem to be related to dose, because if you had a low dose, it actually went up. Hmm. So that alone makes me think that these guys are really grasping at straws and anything to keep those beds full in your own treatment program.
Yeah, and of course, not to minimize the effect of lead. I mean, we're not saying lead's good. Lead was awful. We made sure we got that out of the paint and out of the gasoline. And we did see statistical changes in the IQ of children following that public health move. So that was legitimate. But trying to tie that to marijuana just seems ridiculous to me.
It's quite a loose association. It sounds more psychotic than any psychosis caused by cannabis.
Yeah, really. Speaking of harm reduction, I wonder if you saw that while we were out there at Seattle Hemp Fest, we had the cops passing out bags of Doritos that had the rules for I-502 on them. And it made me wonder that, gosh, the cops are passing out something that's more harmful than weed.
I hate to say it, but long-term consumption of cannabis is one thing. Long-term consumption of trans fats is really dangerous.
All right. We have a question from our chat room. Dreamweaver wants to know, what is your latest book on the subject of cannabis?
As it turns out, I've been asked to revamp Understanding Marijuana. But right now, Les Iverson has the Science of Marijuana out that I think is probably the most up-to-date thing that's handy right now. And I'm chipping away at this, and I'm hoping to have it finished up by the end of 2014.
Oh, excellent news. All right, we've got a question from Trickster Phillips, who wants to know, what, if any, cannabinoids can aid in brain plasticity to form new pathways around areas of the brain damaged by lesions and plasticity in general? I guess this kind of relates to, I've heard about the promise of cannabinoids in treatment of concussion. Is that what we're getting at here?
I think that's the case, and right now, at least THC and cannabidiol are showing a lot of positive effects in the animal models, but you have to administer them almost immediately after injury, which says to me you better carry your vaporizer around whenever you're anywhere near someplace you could get a head injury. But that's such a strange idea. I don't really know how to establish it, and of course, we just don't have the data on human yet. But a whole lot of things that are supportive of brain plasticity in rats have generalized pretty well.
Here's a good question we've got from Howdy Y'all, who asks, is secondhand cannabis smoke, a.k.a. stingers, effective? And that, I think maybe that's just a regional variation. We always called it shotgunning, when you took a hit and then you blew it into someone else's mouth. Is that really effective for someone, or is the person getting the shotgun hit really just a placebo effect there?
It turns out that it really depends on how deep that initial inhale is, and of course there are no funding agencies ready to investigate this. So if the first hit is really huge and not necessarily held for a very long time, there could be plenty of THC left. If it's relatively small and held a long time, the THC will all be absorbed in the first person's lungs.
Hmm. Okay, so don't get any shotgun hits from Michael Phelps. He will have already metabolized it all.
You got it.
Question from John Thomas wants to know, it appears Rick Simpson oil may be effective against skin cancer. Are some of the concentrates in dispensaries equivalent to that, or is there a different manufacturer for the Simpson oil?
I don't mean to badmouth Rick Simpson. His technique looks very much like the techniques I've seen with some of the other creations of oils. but I don't think there's any novelty to his. I think any of these should generalize to any other one. But again, we don't have data other than case studies on these miraculous cures. And some of these disorders, including cancer, tend to ebb and flow. Sometimes, certainly get worse and sometimes also get better with other treatments. We've got individuals who certainly report that they've done really, really well, and I couldn't be more delighted, but we really do need to randomly assign folks and have larger samples before I can say that any of these oils can really cure anything.
Yeah, let's get a few thousand cancer patients together and try this out and really study this stuff. What's the government afraid of in this case?
Beats me. I think the giant industry that's cancer.
Yeah, probably that. All right. Mark Rips has a good question here, real important considering how popular dabs are getting. He wants to know, are the chemicals in wax and what they're using for creating wax, and that would be dabs or oils, whatever, are these chemicals and the wax itself more toxic than traditional smoke?
So my student, Mallory Laughlin, who some folks met at that Philly conference, has gathered just some modest self-report data on this that suggests that at least in the short run, that's probably not a big issue, but that there's a tremendous amount of variation across places. So we had a wonderful talk at the last normal conference about how this is done correctly and the intense and time-consuming procedures involved in making sure the various solvents had been essentially boiled off. But quality control is kind of limited, so it's important that we had a tax and regulated market where we could really have a closer eye on these things.
Okay, and another question, I like this one actually. When was lead removed from cannabis? I guess I get that from our brother. There's never been any lead in cannabis.
If I said that, I meant gasoline.
But we do know that hemp can be used for phytoremediation. When you need to take toxic heavy metals out of the earth, you need to get radiation out of, say, Chernobyl, you can plant hemp and help to leach those toxins from the soil. So there's our little tie-in for the joke. I think that'll work.
I appreciate it.
Dr. Mitch, I had one question here to wrap up the segment. But before we go, I want to let people know that if you didn't get your question in, you can always email Dr. Mitch directly at 420research@gmail.com or just go to the 420radio.org contact page, and we've got a drop-down menu that'll get your content right there to Dr. Mitch as well. But I wanted to ask this question. You know, the folks... these rehabitionists, their latest thing that they're going on is trying to scare us about big tobacco and how these marijuana companies, once it becomes legal, would have to market to younger tokers. Now, we know that people tend to start smoking marijuana between age 16 and 17, and the bulk of people that use it are between the ages of 15 and 25. So how much truth could there be to the notion that big marijuana companies would have to market to kids when it seems to me more older people are the ripe market ready for, you know, picking?
I think the clincher here is keeping our teens informed. The idea that a tax and regulated cannabis market necessarily has to mean one where there's commercials for cannabis on every TV show is certainly, you know, doesn't follow. And as more and more data suggests that, hey, this really isn't adaptive before the brain is fully developed, we can spread the word on that, and I actually trust the intelligence of other people to make sure that goes okay.
And one last quick one from Howdy Y'all wants to know, is the University of Mississippi location still the only place where cannabis for the government study is grown?
Sad but true, although I'm looking kind of enviously at my pals at universities in Washington and Colorado, whose institutional review boards are starting to get a little more flexible about the idea of maybe letting cannabis be administered at those universities.
Oh, wow. University of Colorado, University of Washington system could possibly actually let them use cannabis for study, even though it's only state legal?
Well, as long as they aren't using federal funding, that's at least something that the attorneys at each place are considering.
Oh, wow. That's amazing news, and I hope they get to go on that. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us here every Monday on the Russ Belleville Show. And folks, get your questions in for next week. We'll do it all over again. Thanks, Dr. Mitch,
thanks,
and enjoy your day. All right, folks, when we come back, we have got my speech from the Seattle Hemp Fest at the McWilliam Stage, plus some videos from Dab Central, including Ganja John and our Atlanta friends, Stony and Snap. Stay tuned.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's
simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock, cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
What amazing time we had at the family reunion, also known as Seattle Hemp Fest, third weekend of August every year for the past 22 years. We were there at Dab Central with Oil Slick, Happy Daddy, Cliff Maynard, Handmade Apparel, and of course us at 420radio.org. Lots of really cool people stopped by, including a great friend of the show, our own Ganja John.
We have no power, but we have Ganja John.
I'm here. Hi. I have multiple new weapons.
Nice.
Nice.
So, you know what? It's Ganja John.
That's what they tell me. It could be, yeah, a subsidiary of Oil Baron Enterprises.
So, Hempfest, it's legal.
And I've never been hassled more at Hempfest.
Really?
Yeah, about torches and about dabbing.
Oh, by the staff?
Yeah.
Kind of set up all sorts of privacy. Well, yeah.
Nothing you can do, but we got away with doing dabs all afternoon, so I'm not worried.
If only we could have power.
Yeah, if only we could actually, you know, do a show. Oh, well, listeners, we had fun for you. I'm Dab Jesus.
From cross country, yeah. We have Stoney. Snap. We go from Atlanta. We met at the Southern Marijuana Conference. And now you drove up to Seattle Hemp Fest. What do you think?
Recreational cannabis.
You should go back there tomorrow and get a lot of nachos.
Like? I want to say thank you so to Vivian McKee and Conti McKee for inviting me here. It is the greatest experience, and I would not have missed it for the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right on. So we're gonna bring this freedom to the South?
We have to. Now.
Yeah.
By the time we get back from this event, we should have some freedom in the South. Paul, see? Right. We have to overgrow the government together.
And they want it so bad they're willing to drive 2,500 miles.
Oh, 4,000, 10,000.
We've been all over this bad boy trying to let everybody know we're not going to stop.
Right on.
We've gone miles and miles and miles and been broken down and picked back up, and we're still going.
Excellent.
We're still going.
Excellent. Well, enjoy Hemp Fest. I know it's been a long
Peace
drive.
And love.
Match one.
Hey, Hepfest, how we doing? How's Freedom feel? Smells pretty good. You guys are great. I'm so glad we're here to celebrate the victory that we had in the election. People worked hard to change the laws so that the adult possession of an ounce of marijuana is legal. Not decrim, not a fine, not something the cops can harass you over. And you gotta see how much of an impact that has made across the country. I have put 60,000 flight miles on this year alone, traveling across this country, doing my show at 420radio.org. And what I've learned is that this war isn't over, it's just begun. And when we're in a fight against prohibition and against a government that has lied to us and against the police and the DEA that have spied on us and have kept us down and taken our children and shot our dogs and taken our homes and our money and put us in cages for profit, then it's not time to rest. We have poked the bear in the eye, and he's upset. There's private prison companies right now that are very upset about passing Washington and Colorado's legalization measures. They're very upset about looking at Alaska and Oregon to legalize in 2014. They're not too happy about the prospects of California and Vermont and Rhode Island and Maine and all these states falling one by one by one as the wall of prohibition comes down. And you started it. You pushed out that first brick. But in this war, we have to get armed. And whether you like it or not, some of the older listeners out there, you remember the draft. You all were drafted in 1970 when Richard Nixon declared war on you as a cannabis consumer. When they say war on drugs, folks, it ain't war on drugs. It's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. That's what the war is on, and you've been drafted in that war. And as a soldier in the war on drugs, to fight back, you got to arm yourself with knowledge, with education. And that's what we do at 420radio.org. We are 24 hours a day. You can get us on TuneIn.com, your TuneIn app, iTunes, YouTube, Ustream, Stitcher. Look for 420 Radio. Look for Radical Rush. You'll find us. We're always there to bring you education because we have podcasts not just from the West Coast. We got podcasts coming at you from Texas, from Britain, from Spain, from all over the world so that you get perspective on what's going on in this war. Because this war is still going on and people are still getting hurt. Just this past couple of weeks, I've had to do some stories in my headline news that just make me cringe to think if this happened to my mom or my niece. In Texas, two women were driving one night when the cops pulled them over, suspected of throwing something out the window, allegedly littering. And on the dash cam, you see as they get them out of the car and they say, well, who's smoking marijuana? Your car smells a lot like marijuana. Who's got the marijuana? Neither one of them are like, well, we don't smoke pot. This is our friend, my boyfriend's car. We just borrowed it. We don't know what's going on. And on the dash, they had these two women outside in the middle of the street, you know, freeway, road, whatever, highway, you know, in Irving, Texas, I believe it was. Called a female trooper in to do a body cavity search on the side of the road. It's right there on the dash cam as the female trooper puts on a little glove, step, step, put on the glove, reach down the front of the woman's pants, feel around, is there any marijuana there? Reach down the back, is there any marijuana there? No, no. Send her aside, bring in the other woman on dash cam, reach down, any marijuana there? Reach down, any marijuana there? You may have noticed I didn't change gloves. Neither did the trooper. Same glove, both women, body cavity searches, side of the road, because they smelled pot that they did not have. That's the kind of things that happen as marijuana is still illegal, it's still contraband, and I kept trying to tell people how important this was last year. That decrim's great, medical's great, these are good steps forward, but you gotta have it not be contraband. It has to be something the cops can't mess with you. And when states across this country, because I've been this year to Texas and Florida and Georgia, I've been all over, and when they saw the highlight, this made national news, of the Washington cops detraining the drug dogs to not sniff pot, people around the country just lit up. They're like, oh my God, do you know what a drug dog means in Georgia? That means some prison time's coming.
And here you're teaching them not to sniff pot. Give yourselves a hand for that. Yeah. Brett dogs that don't sniff pot. Yeah. And the war is still going on in the case of Child Protective Services. This is one of the ways they fight against our activists. I have a very good personal friend named Lindsay Reinhart, who was supposed to be speaking at Seattle Hemp Fest, but she couldn't because of her circumstance. She's in Boise, Idaho, my home state, where it's very, very red, very, very conservative. The legislature in Idaho, get this, actually had a vote to say, we will never, ever, in any way whatsoever, for any reasons whatsoever, legalize marijuana. It's already illegal in Idaho, right? They just had a vote to say, well, damn it, it's going to be illegal forever, damn it. Because of all the states around them. They can see Oregon and Washington legalize, and they can see Montana, they can see Nevada, they can see California. They know they're a little island of ignorance being trapped there. And Lindsay Reinhart, my friend, has multiple sclerosis, and she stood up to fight. And she stood up to petition with the Idaho Medical Choice Act to get signatures, to get medical marijuana in Idaho. So what did they do? They manufactured a reason for the cops to come over, to come in for a well child visit, and to take her children away. Ages 6 and 10. She was in the wilderness in Idaho at the time. She couldn't get the text messages of the babysitter frantically saying, oh my God, the cops are here, they're taking your kids. She comes out of the mountains to get these text messages. Your kids are being taken away by the police. And they have effectively forced her to move out of Idaho into Oregon, where she can treat her multiple sclerosis, where she's not a criminal for being sick and trying to use the best herbal, the best medication, forget about herbal, best medication she can find. This is the war that's still going on. So don't relax that, oh man, I can smoke now, it's all legal. That just means we've just started, people. This is just the beginning. We've got to take this wave of legalization. We've got to spread it south to Oregon in 2014. I ain't waiting until 2016. We got to bring it to California in 2016. We got to spread it westward, eastward. We got to take it through all of the United States so all of our brothers and sisters can be free, so that nobody is ever persecuted for growing, selling, or using marijuana ever again in the United States. And our grandchildren look back at this era and they go, what? You used to do what to people who used cannabis? Yeah. Can you see that future?
Yeah.
Do you want that for your grandchildren?
Yeah.
Then keep doing what you're doing. Keep celebrating. Keep standing strong. Keep using cannabis. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't let anyone put you down. Find some activists that are doing good work and get them some money. They can really use some help. And I'll give you one last thing to educate yourself. Is I've got some great friends I'm working with, the National Cannabis Coalition, and they've got some great knowledge, great writers, Doug Fine, myself, Anthony Johnson, daily bringing you the stories and the education you need. You can get on your cell phones and just text NCC, like National Cannabis Coalition, NCC, to 420-420. You can remember that, right? 420-420. NCC to 420-420. They'll get you signed up to the newsletter. You'll get my radical rants, my twice-weekly column, where we tear apart the prohibitionists, we give you the facts to end the drug war, and we throw these prohibitionist bastards out of office and get ourselves some freedom for this whole country.
There we go. That's my speech at the McWilliams stage. That was Saturday's speech at 6:45 p.m. And then tomorrow, tomorrow's show will have more video from Seattle Hemp Fest, including some of my panel at the Seattle Hemp Fest Hemposium. Other people who appeared on the panel include Danny Danko and Ben Livingston, among others. It was moderated by Chris Conrad, his wife Mickey Norris also involved. We've also got Hemposium panel that includes Sharon Raybert from Georgia Moms for Marijuana, Rebecca Forbes from the Carolina Cannabis Coalition, we'll get, and Michael Kravitz from Veterans for Medical Cannabis Access. That'll be coming up on a future show as well this week sometime. Got to work out the whole schedule. A lot of video to get through, a lot of Hemp Fest to cover. Thanks for being a part of it, and thanks for supporting 420radio.org, your listener-supported cannabis community radio. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. you'll see, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roam it.